Let's go with our Bibles to Psalms 122. Take a look at this psalm together today. We're going to just take a look at the verses, and I want you to read along with me. So if you have your Bibles, we'll turn there. Psalms 122. It starts off by telling us this is a song of ascents and a psalm of David. Ascent literally means to go up, carries with it the idea of stairs. And because this is about the city of Jerusalem, it's a song that the children of Israel would sing as they would go to the temple. As they would come to the temple area in order to take part in the one of the many feasts that the children of Israel came together to celebrate in the city of Jerusalem. The fact that this is a psalm written by David is significant in that the children of Israel never worshipped in Jerusalem until David. It was David who moved the ark to the city of Jerusalem and who wanted to build the temple in the city of Jerusalem, but God prevented him from doing that. It was left instead to Solomon. And David built that, or rather Solomon built that temple, but the Ark of the Covenant was in the city of Jerusalem. And this song of ascent, coming to the city of Jerusalem in order to worship God, written by David, would have been at the very early stages of when the children of Israel came to the city of Jerusalem, the place chosen by God and made known through David that this is where God would have the children of Israel to worship. And so David writes this psalm. In his mind, it's the city of Jerusalem. In his mind, it's the city in which he lives, on which the tabernacle now stands, and very soon the temple will stand. But as we read it this morning, it's us. And the things said in this psalm, while talking about the physical aspects of a physical place, have spiritual meaning for a spiritual place, really a spiritual people. We don't get the full import of that until we come to the close of God's revelation. And at the close of God's revelation, God will talk about, in Revelation chapter 21, the New Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem which came down out of heaven, which comes from heaven, which is not a physical place, it's a spiritual place. The New Jerusalem, which is the bride of Christ. The New Jerusalem, which is built upon the foundation of Jesus and the apostles of Jesus Christ. The New Jerusalem, which is the church, his people. And so the Holy Spirit would have in mind more than David did. And God would have in mind more than David did. And while we read these verses this morning, we're going to look at what David was talking about, but we're also going to take a look at what the Holy Spirit had in mind and what God had in mind as he writes these words that David writes down for us in Psalms 122. We start with verse 1. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." The word ascent means to go up. You have to go anytime to the tabernacle or to the temple. You have to go up because Jerusalem is built upon a mountain. David said, "I was glad." He rejoiced. He was happy to be there. He was happy to be a part of this assembly in the temple of God, this assembly that we are having as the temple of God this morning. He rejoiced and he was glad when somebody said to him, "Let us go up to the house of the Lord." I had a discussion last week with an individual who was confused about the house of the Lord. He was confused about a couple of different things, and one of them had to do with the house of the Lord. He tried to make it a sin any time anybody prayed and they did not get down on their knees. Because he tried to make prayer about the position that we are physically in rather than the condition of our heart and our mind. But he went further than that in talking about the things that are done wrong in the house of the Lord. And I asked him, what do you think is meant by the house of the Lord? And he said, and never had anybody go quite this far with it, but he said, every Church of Christ building is the house of the Lord. And I said, no, that's not right. Because the house is the people. It is not the building. And he said, no, that's not right. It's the building. And every Church of Christ building is the house of the Lord. And he was totally confused. I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. In David's mind, it would have been a tabernacle. In David's mind, it would have been a temple. In our mind, it's the people of God. I was glad when they said, let's go meet with the saints. I was glad when they said, let's go meet with the brethren. I was glad when they said, let's go meet with God's house, with God's people, with God's temple. And that's who we are. So I was glad when they said, let's go to the house of the Lord. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 6. But Christ was faithful as a son over his house, over God's house, whose house we are, if we hold fast our confidence and the boast of our hope firm until the end. What's the house of God? The people of God. The people of God who put trust and faith in Jesus Christ and hold that faith and that trust firm until the end. Peter will write it this way. You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You are living stones being built up as God's house, the New Jerusalem that's come down. And it's us. It's the assembly of God all over this world. The people who put trust in God and trust in Christ and who belong to Him. And so David says, I was glad when they said, let's go to the house of the Lord. And we ought to be glad and rejoice when we have opportunity to be with our brothers and our sisters in order to be encouraged by them and to have opportunity to encourage them. So we go to verse 2. And in verse 2, it says this. Our feet are standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Imagine the joy of David in being there. Not some distant land away like Daniel was. When he opened his windows and he faced toward Jerusalem and he prayed toward Jerusalem and he longed to be there. And here David is talking about, we are standing inside of the city. We are standing inside of Jerusalem. This idea of standing also can mean or carry with it the idea of taking a stand here. This is what I stand for. This is what my life is about. This is what I defend. And this is what I hold fast. And this is what I strive to protect. I take my stand here in the house of God. Could be the idea that David has in mind. But what I want to think about and emphasize is that we're part of this. David's no stranger here. He stands in Jerusalem. We are here as a part of this. We are all here involved in this. We are not strangers on the outside looking in. We are part of God's people. And we delight in associating with the rest of God's people. We are involved in everything that has to be done. It's not about what they are doing. It's us. It's we. I want you to look at something that's kind of interesting. And just hold on to Psalm 22 and open your Bibles to Acts 16. And this kind of illustrates something that ought to have an impact on the way we think that David is trying to get us to consider in the second verse of Psalms 122. I want you to look at the pronouns in Acts chapter 16, and I want you to notice a change. And I want you to tell me, you don't have to tell me. I want you to just think to yourself what that change signifies. It's in Acts chapter 16. It starts with verse 6, and it says this. They passed through Phrygian and Galatian region, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And after they came to Mysia, they were trying to go into Bithynia. And the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. And passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. And at Troas, a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and a man of Macedonia was standing and appealing to him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." When he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Now, why did we change from "they went" to now "we're going"? And we concluded he wants us to go, when all before it was "they did this." Well, it's clear, isn't it? Luke wasn't with them. Luke didn't join them until we come to the point where Paul has his vision. Up until that time, Luke was traveling to meet them. Or they were traveling to meet him, but they weren't together. Luke wasn't a part of the group until Paul had his vision. And then Luke, the writer, after Paul has his vision, changes the pronouns. Now it's no longer they, now it's us. We're a part of this. And that's the thing David is emphasizing in verse 2. We stand in Jerusalem. We're a part of this. We are part of this new Jerusalem. And we need to develop the mindset and the attitude. This is not about they and what they are doing. This is about us. And it's about what we are doing. Then verse 3. In verse 3, David writes this: "Jerusalem, that is built as a city that is compact together." Jerusalem is a city that is built and it's compact together. A city compacted together. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 9 through 11. The Apostle Paul talks about building on a foundation. And each man is building on a foundation. And each man needs to take care how he builds on that foundation. And Paul begins this discussion by saying, "What was entrusted to me, I have built. And I have laid a foundation. And nobody needs to disturb that foundation. Because the only foundation that can be laid is Jesus Christ. And everything that is built must be built on the foundation of Jesus Christ." We don't have this so much in our country today, not the way it is in certain cultures. I understand from Jeff that it's exactly this way in Ecuador. That in Ecuador, when a family begins, they build a house. And when they build that house, coming up through the roof are the necessary pieces of metal that need to be had in order to add to it. And every generation of that family will add to that house by going up. And every time they add another level of that house going up, they also extend that rebar right on straight up through the roof so that the next generation will be able to build again right on top of it. And this pulls the family together because they're all living in the same complex. They're all living in the same place, and they build the house up. And that's the middle image that David is presenting to us about Jerusalem. Jerusalem is a city compacted together. It's built on top of itself because it's a walled-in city. You can't go spread out unless you move the walls. And so it's a city compacted that's built up on itself. And Paul uses that to describe the way the church is built. It is built up on the foundation of Jesus Christ. And you make sure you don't ever lay a different foundation. You make sure that you never move away from that foundation, which is God, which is Christ. We are all a part of this family. We are all a part of this family building on the same thing. Building on the foundation of Jesus Christ to make his body and to formulate his body. We are this city, compacted together. David had one thing in mind physically. The Holy Spirit and God had a different thing in mind spiritually, that we're being built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. And then in verse 4, David writes this, to which the tribes go up, even the tribes of the Lord, an ordinance for Israel to give thanks to the name of the Lord. The tribes, there were 12 of them. All the tribes of Israel were all a part of this family. They all came to Jerusalem to worship. They did that coming to Jerusalem for the first time with David. They did that all coming together to worship ever since the Passover was inaugurated when they were still in the land of Egypt. And they will do this until the kingdom is divided. And when the kingdom is divided, then there will be people that will move them away from God. And there will be people of the tribes who will no longer come to Jerusalem. And they will no longer be recognized as the people of God. We all have different backgrounds. We all come from different tribes. But we're all part of this same family. And the reason we come together is because of an ordinance, a statute, a testimony, instruction from God. Instruction from God that we are a body and we're to function as a body. And we're to assemble together. And he gives us specific instructions. Don't abandon the idea of assembling together. Because it's a part, a necessary part, of the function of this body that God has placed us in. So David is talking about something from a physical standpoint. And here God has in mind the thing that is coming that is us, which is the spiritual aspect of this body of Christ, this body of God, this family of God, this kingdom of God that belongs to him. And we come together in order to worship him, in order to honor him, to be specific, to give thanks to God. We come together to thank him for what he has done for each and every one of us in the giving of his son to give us eternal life and to make us in his likeness and to make us in his image. Then verse 5. Verse 5 will say, For their thrones were set for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Thrones for judgment. Thrones to decide what's right and what's wrong. Thrones to correct. Thrones to admonish. Thrones to bring back. And the throne is the throne of David. And Jesus sits on that throne. Jesus is the one who is the Lord. Jesus is the one who is the King. Jesus is the one who is the judge for the spiritual house. And Jesus is the one who sits on that throne judging us. And we allow what he says to be the very thing that controls our life. And what he says to us comes to us through those apostles who sat on 12 thrones. Matthew chapter 19, Jesus said this to his apostles. Truly I say to you that you have followed me, that you who have followed me, in the regeneration when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, that's the throne of David, that's the throne at the right hand of God. When he will sit on his throne, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. David is talking about a temple, a tabernacle, governed by the will of God, judged by the will of God. God is talking about his people, governed by his will, governed by what he's said, what he's instructed us to do. And all of that instruction comes to us from Jesus. And it's given to us from Jesus through his apostles, which is what's recorded for us in the New Testament. And so here is this holy city, this new Jerusalem. And what guides it, and what controls it, and what corrects it, and everything about it are these thrones, which is the New Testament, the will of God and the will of Jesus. Verses 6 through 7... or rather 6 through 9 go together. Because in verse 6, this is the statement that is made. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. And there's the admonition. And in verses 6 through 9, there are the prayers. Verses 6 through 9 are all the prayers that are prayed, are the prayers that are prayed for the city of Jerusalem. Every single one of them have a key word. And that key word is the word peace. In the Hebrew, it's the word shalom. It's the word that is still used as a greeting today in Israel. And it's the word that was used as a greeting and other things in the Old Testament. The primary meaning of the word is this. To have shalom means to have completeness. It means to have soundness. It means to have welfare. It means to be taken care of. It means to have peace. It means freedom from disturbance. Freedom from disturbance mentally. Freedom from disturbance emotionally. Freedom from disturbance physically. Freedom from disturbance financially. Freedom from disturbance in regard to every aspect of your life. Here, David is talking about a physical city. God's talking about us. And what he's saying is that we are to pray for. We're going to get a little bit more about that idea of praying for in just a second. That for the people of God, those who belong to him, they have peace. They have completeness, spiritually and physically, emotionally and mentally. They have soundness. They have welfare. They have peace. They have freedom from disturbance. And then in these next verses, I want you to read them with me. Look at how he writes this, starting in verse 7. May peace be within your walls, that's shalom. May shalom be within your walls and prosperity within your palaces. May everything inside of your walls be free from every kind of disturbance. And may there be prosperity in all of your palaces. For the sake of my brothers and my friends, I will now say, may peace be within you. Because my brothers and my friends dwell inside the city of Jerusalem. And my prayer is that for my friends and my brothers, all of whom dwell inside the city of Jerusalem, that there will be peace within the city of Jerusalem, so it will be well and prosperous for all of my brothers and my sisters. And here the Holy Spirit is talking about the whole body of Christ. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. For the sake of my family and my friends, for the sake of the body of Christ, for the sake of the house of God, I will seek your good. Pray for it. Seek for it. Work for it. Contribute to it. To the good of God's people. What am I doing in this family of God's believers? How invested am I in it? How involved am I in it? How often do I include it in my prayers to God? How often do I include all of the body of Christ worldwide? How much am I concerned about it? How much do I pray for it? How much do I seek what is good and right for it? How much do I work for what's good and right for it? What am I doing to contribute to the goodness and welfare of it for all of God's people? What am I doing with it? And here's David in this psalm. The house of God is my life. And the house of God will be the thing I'm concerned about more than anything else in life. And I will work for the house of God because everything I love and hold dear is inside of it. And everything that is worth anything to God is inside of it. And so we work for its peace, its completeness, its soundness, its wholeness, everything that is good with regard to it. So in Psalms 122, even though David knew nothing about the church as we know it, even though he had no understanding yet of what Jesus was exactly going to do, although he had a picture, He writes about what he thought was God's temple. And it really is. But not in the sense that David thought, but in the sense that God has made it known to us that we who put trust in Christ are the people of God. And we work for each other. We pray for each other. We strengthen each other. We help each other. And we help all of us to grow into the likeness and image of Jesus himself. Are you in this body? Are you in Christ? Because to be in this body is to be in Christ. Do you need to come home to Christ? If you need to respond to his invitation, we'll extend it to you as together we stand and as we sing.